This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, Sharad, Julian and Ibrahim with the latest business stories. We also, just before we carry on with those stories, just to mention that after the 8 o'clock news, we're going to have on the breakfast grill, Sigve Brekke. He is the president and CEO of Norway's Telenor Group, which is one of the world's largest telecommunications company, with operations spanning across Europe and Asia. And they, of course, own a large chunk of Digi in Malaysia. And that's because one of the top stories this morning, Digi to bank on startups in its digital ambitions, says the Star.
Right. So Telenor's focus in Asia has going to be big. 56% of Telenor's revenue actually comes from Asia. And Thailand and Malaysia together account for about 30% of these revenues. And of course, the strategy for Europe is a little bit different. And I'm pretty sure Melissa will ask him how the growth region in Asia is going to compensate for the mature markets in Europe as well as elsewhere in the world. But following back to Digi, so Digi.com plans to become a digital services provider in the next 5 years. Now, this is a story of an old telco trying to become a new telco. And of course, the old telco here is basically the communications services provider. And they want to become a digital services provider now.
I think it's inevitable that we are moving into that kind of economy, the digital economy. And I guess these incumbents, all these telcos, coming from a long tradition of being utilities, right? How does a utility change itself? And that's a very important question. So for them to take that step, Sigve Brekke actually yesterday saying that Digi might not be a telco in 5 years' time. Mm-hmm. That's something that reflects to us, you know, how radical the situation is. And they got to change to capture that kind of business. And at the heart of it are telecommunication services.
Yeah. So that very notion of how they're not going to be a telco in the next 5 years is basically moving away from that CSP notion of, you know, voice calls over GSM, SMS, and so on, and becoming that DSP company where big data analytics is going to be a big feature, voice over LTE, voice over IP. That fourth generation revolution that you spoke of on your breakfast grill, Sharad, yesterday. And this is the future of telcos. So Sigve Brekke was mentioning this WEF yesterday, saying that 8 out of 10 biggest smartphones are produced in Asia. Over 60% of messaging content are being developed in the region. And it is likely that digital services development centers should be based in Asia. So while DSPs are going to be a big thing for telcos around the world, we're going to see Asia pushing forward that DSP agenda for many telco companies like Telenor and Digi.
But isn't there still money to be made in telecommunications, laying lines, setting up systems? We know that Telenor is big in Myanmar. It's a new and open, new market. Isn't there still money to be made there?
Yeah, well, I think that you got to be constantly changing because the people are no longer making calls, right? I mean, some people are, but really data rules right now. So every kind of communication that's been done is being done through data. So I guess the question that needs to be asked is, what is the next great transformation? And you see people like Google and Amazon and, Amazon, we think is a big supermarket, but they have this other business called Amazon Web Services, mm-hmm. Which actually offers cloud services to people and for businesses to set up online quite easily. So is Amazon an e-commerce platform or is it a telco provider, right? So mm-hmm. That's a very interesting question.
And then there are greater margins in that question in what Amazon does. To fall back what Sharad, you were saying about laying down lines, a lot of companies have exited this business. In fact, one company, Vivocom, formerly known as Instacom, actually exited this business and they're doing fine or doing better once they exited laying down cables. But following back to that DSP notion,
Can we just clarify what DSP is?
Digital service provider?
Yeah, digital services provider. So CSPs are communications services providers and DSPs are digital service providers. And DGX is one of those companies that have been created under Digi to actually spearhead that DSP agenda. And the notion here is that DGX will become an incubator for startups. And they're going to provide some sort of a 25,000 ringgit worth of seed funds for these startups to work with.
Speaking about funds, Uber raises $3.5 billion from the Saudi fund.
Yeah.
This is a Saudi Arabia's public investment fund.
So this is a new initiative that was created by the Deputy Crown Prince, Mohammed Salman. And the MD of Saudi Arabia's public investment fund, Yasser Al-Rumayyan, says that they are betting on Uber to grow big. But if you ask me, $3.5 billion, if you give it to Uber, it's not really that much, actually, because they are a multi-billion unicorn.
I think it's not going to amount of much, but it has a few dimensions to this. One is that you want to have a look at what the what it implies for overall valuation of Uber, because in previous fundraising exercises, they were valued at about $50 billion. Today, with the latest raising, it's $3.5 billion. So it's huge. The other implication, of course, is very controversially arguing about Uber's funding war chest to give themselves an unfair market, a predatory position, and using this kind of funding to price cheaply to price out the taxi drivers. And over the long term, if the taxi drivers are decimated, would we then see a monopolistic situation in Uber, right? And my short answer to that is I don't think so, because the internet is such an open space. Predatory pricing can be summarily defined as unfair price rises, right? And so far, we have not seen this in the internet and online services like Facebook. We don't pay to go into Facebook. For Google, we are using our G Docs and our Gmail for really free. We're talking about gigabytes of free space, right? I have signed up to Google Photos, for instance, where I upload all my photos, unlimited amount of photos for free. So maybe the predation can come in some other forms like privacy issues and so on. But as far as pricing is concerned, I don't know whether there can be, in this day and age, a kind of monopolistic situation.
But there can be. If you look at some things that happen locally, I take taxis all the time, Julian. And, you know, sometimes I could take a fare from, you know, office to work, just 3 ringgit. Mm-hmm. But what's happening behind that 3 ringgit is the fact that Grab or Uber will be compensating the driver. So the actual cost is something like 18 ringgit because the driver's being paid 14. I've just paid 3 of it. Yeah. So I'm being subsidized by Grab.
The question is that's an advantage to
for
you.
For me.
Is that predatory?
Well, because the viewpoint of the taxi driver who has nobody backing it and subsidizing, he can't bring his costs any lower because there's nobody saying, okay, I'm going to give you 10 ringgit even if you take the fare.
Well, he can. Well, not him, but the government can, because the taxi drivers are being burdened by that rent-seeking activity, right? All these companies collecting taxi rentals every day.
Right.
Well, moving on, China Xiaomi buys Microsoft patents to spur global forays.
Yeah, okay. So again, back to this whole technology notion, right? When mergers and acquisition happens with the technology companies, it's not necessarily the infrastructure that you buy over that company. It's actually the intellectual property as well. So based on our grill with my IPO, whether or not IP can be extremely valuable, the question is, in the telco sector, it can be highly valuable. And in this sense, Microsoft had that misadventure when they went and bought over Lumia. But right now, they might be profiting from it, because Xiaomi is now buying patents in a lawful way. Not many Chinese companies are doing so. And right now, China is buying, I think, up to 40 over patents from Microsoft. And this might do well for everyone, for Microsoft, for Xiaomi, and for the adventure and progress of the telco industry.
Well, I think it's unfair to say that not many Chinese companies are buying patent, but I mean, it's fair to say that the early stages of the Chinese internet development, a lot of the ideas were rip off. But when you go into actual design of the device, then there is so much of copycatting going around. Believe it or not, recently Samsung was sued in China,
for
infringement.
For copyright infringement.
Yeah. And they took it to a few courts in the US as well as in Europe to make sure they cover their bases. So that's right.
I wonder if this is a general pattern when we look at any industry and countries. They start by mimicking, copying, you know, even having their brands sound very much like global brands, and then they find a certain strength and are able to push their own brands. And so now China brands are not seen as second rate, but in fact, kind of leading brands, aren't they?
So because of this, you know, we spoke about DGX trying to fund startups, right? I think this could be another way of DGX trying to gain IP from startups for a cheap price at 25,000 ringgit. Hopefully something innovative can come from that.
Speaking at a panel discussion at the World Economic Forum on ASEAN yesterday in Kuala Lumpur, Prime Minister Najib Razak said the overall trajectory of for Malaysia and the rest of Southeast Asia is positive. And he says that investors in particular are positive about Malaysia, despite the noise, as he puts it.
Yeah, so he's playing down suggestions that the government is losing investors' confidence. He points out that the long-term trend of rising FDI into Malaysia is an expression of confidence. And I think he's trying to allay market fears that Malaysia is losing ground among investors. And I think it's timely for him to say so. It's also important for him to say so at a forum like the WEF or WEF.
Yeah, we see a lot of foreign investors adjusting their portfolios and shifting money around. We also see the ringgit having strengthened at the start of this year, now seeing some weaknesses again. So while the headline statements try to placate investors' views, I think the money will take a life of its own, right? It will have to assess the goings on of the country and see and vote with their feet, right? Whether they continue to put money in the country. I think Malaysia has a big GLC problem. A lot of stocks here are owned by GLC, which may at many instances be good for investors because then the government is in a position to negotiate with these investors, whether implicitly or explicitly, that their interests will be protected. But the longer term thing are all these long investments coming in to really promote growth in the economy, and we are getting a run for our money for that from places like Indonesia, Vietnam, Philippines, and so on.
And this is an ongoing conversation. Stay tuned. After the news, we have the Breakfast Girl. We have the head of Telenor Group from Norway, Sigvig Breka, and he's going to be speaking to Melissa Idris. Now we have the news with Nadia Abdulaziz.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.